freedom championing philosopher, top market analyst, and Way of the Renaissance man, Jim Wood stops by to kick off season 9 of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on this episode, I'm making success simple by kicking off the new season with our quarterly guest host, Way of the Renaissance man and number one market analyst, Jim Woods. The man needs no introduction. You've been seeing him around for quite some time. So let's get chatting with him about Freedom Fest and about what's gone on in the last 3 months of this very crazy market. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's always a pleasure. I look forward, it's my quarterly fun.
Yes. Well, I hate to be the one to put a little bit of damper on this week's fun, but I was hoping that we were going to do this big Freedom Fest primer where we were going to get to go celebrate freedom and values and enjoy all of our friends that have really engaging ideas and just get to commune with a bunch of like-minded individuals for a week. And I thought we were going to be talking about that. Both of us have speeches that we are supposed to give, and now we're not.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Freedom Fest conference is not going to be allowed to continue, at least for this year, of course. And it's because of the COVID-19 restrictions on large group meetings in the state of Nevada. And the governor originally had planned to loosen up the rules as of July 1st, but that due to higher case counts in that state, they couldn't do it. They were restricting big meetings to only 49 people. And with about 2,000 people or so slated to go to Freedom Fest, restricting each group room to 49 people would not have been tenable. So the organizers decided to just pull the plug on it. And it's a very good idea. It was a good decision. Of course, they had no choice really. But it's a lot of people were afraid to go, and it's something I understand. I wasn't personally afraid to go, but I could understand someone's trepidation for.
Well, we lost our producer.
Yes. I mean, I have several friends that decided they didn't want to take the risk of going, and I fully understand that. I don't begrudge that of anyone, because people need to assess for themselves whether they think they're going to be at risk on something like this. And for most people knew that they were going to make a good decision either by going or not going. But then the decision overall was made for us. So it's unfortunate, but it's just a reality of the climate that we're in now. Nobody thought this was going to happen like this. But it is the case. So we're all just kind of grappling with the ramifications and trying to do the best we can through difficult circumstances. I think that's all we can ask of ourselves.
Well, and the sooner that we answer that question of how are we going to effectively respond versus just kind of instinctively react, which we've seen a lot of, and it's kind of gone south as a result, the better off we'll be when we can start addressing things as they are and dealing with reality as it exists, not as we would prefer it to be, because our preferences don't matter at this point.
Yeah, Ayn Rand used to call it the primacy of existence, not the primacy of consciousness. So we all might want something to be a certain way, but if it's not a certain way, we can't wish it to be so. So right now, the world is dealing with a virus that we don't understand very well. We're making progress on understanding it. We're making progress on the possible health effects for certain targeted groups. we're making progress on whether we're going to get a vaccine for this, or whether there's going to be some kind of pharmaceutical treatment that will be kind of like a Tamiflu type of, you know, treatment like we have for the flu. So if you get the flu, you get the Tamiflu, you can kind of make it through and you're going to be fine. You know, and no, the government's not going to put a lockdown on society for when there's Tamiflu and other kinds of influenza vaccines. But we don't really know right now exactly what's going on with this in terms of like the, you know, the DNA profile of it and all the different scientific aspects of it. So we're basically in protection mode now. And the uncertainty has been very, very unnerving. And it's been, was definitely unnerving for my area of expertise, which is the markets. And we could, well, I know we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but, you know, it's been a case of, it's been anything but boring. Let's put it that way.
Well, yes. And I think that I just read that in one of your newsletters this week, yes. As a matter of fact. So, you know, I mean, because you are a freedom championing philosopher and your background is in philosophy as a Renaissance man, and I'm thinking about 3 years ago when we were just on radio, and for those that are just joining the show and who aren't familiar with who you are very, very well, you at the time, I guess, now you're number one. You're the number one market analyst in the world. But at the time, you were only number three back then. And
it fluctuates.
Well, at the time of the interview where you answered the question in the most profound way that I really thought that I connected with, and I really, after I thought about it, it made total sense. But until I thought about it, I hadn't considered it. And I asked, how does the number three stock picker become a Renaissance man? Because we were talking about your Way of the Renaissance Man project. And you answered, Heather, it is because I am a Renaissance man that I am able to achieve these levels in my profession. Do you remember that?
I remember that quite well. And you reminded me of that a couple of times over the years. And it was actually a genesis for one of the talks that I was slated to give at Freedom Fest, which was titled How to Think, Act, and Live Like a Renaissance Man. And a lot of the principles that I use to pick stocks and to analyze markets and analyze companies kind of comes from that, because I want to make sure that when I think about an issue, I want to think about it in a lot of different ways, not just kind of a numerical way or a technical way or a news way, but all of those ways. I want to incorporate all the different variables that I can and then make my best judgment to see whether or not that particular stock may be a good buy for investors and when they should buy it, when they should sell it, that kind of thing. So I think implementing like a kind of a focused and integrated aspect to everything you do in life is the key. And that's allows just doing those two things properly allows you to celebrate your success. And, you know, we've had pretty good success over the last couple of years in all my newsletter services with, you know, using that kind of approach. So I've been happy with it. I mean, even during this COVID challenge market, we've come up with some very good results, beating the market quite easily. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, you know, my point or purpose for bringing that up is you have this incredible background in philosophy and in many different endeavors. And part of being a Renaissance man or a Renaissance woman, for that matter, is to have varied interests, but to create a depth of knowledge, you know, not just have like a cursory interest in something, but some profound depth to many areas of expertise. And we're in unprecedented times. And I know that I didn't give you this as a heads up, but it kind of just started to occur to me as we were talking and I was listening to you about Freedom Fest. In unprecedented times, we can always go back to some of the Stoics had some really great stuff to share about how to handle unprecedented times. But with the media the way it is, the way we have technology at our fingertips, I think that everything is exacerbated, whether it's the reporting of news 24/7 or the people reacting to it in such a way. What can we do as individuals during unprecedented times in a philosophical way to help bolster us or set ourselves up for success?
That's a great question. And it's one that I think everyone needs to kind of reflect on. I think that if you, first of all, we're always in somewhat unprecedented times, even though we don't know it at the time. So, I mean, this has been exaggerated. Obviously, we haven't had a viral pandemic like this, you know, in over 100 years. So this is a first for everybody. But times of stress, times of difficulty, times of strain, they're always going to be with us. And the only way you could prepare for the details of that is to prepare your mind with the only tool of survival we have, which is our reason. So if we have a honed sense of reason that, and the right values underlying that reason, the values of rational self-interest, the virtue of honesty, the virtue of hard work, the virtue of productivity, we apply all those things to our lives, we can get through the really difficult times as best as anyone can. I mean, that's the only way we can do it. You know, we can't get by like this pandemic by hoping that it's just gonna go away. We have to apply the science. We have to apply the social pressures to try to help people get through this. We have to help people mentally, that have mental situations with it, to help them get through this, you know, the strain and the anxiety that's being caused by this pandemic. We need to have fiscal measures to help us get through these things. I mean, there's no real easy answer to something like this. And unfortunately, whenever these things happen, we go into these tribal camps of, well, this is, if we only did this, we'd be fine. And we only did that, we'd be fine. Now we say, be skeptical of the people that have all the answers. Because usually they don't have the answers, and they definitely don't have the right approach to trying to get the answers. And the only thing we can do about these things is to talk about them and to reason as best we can. And if we don't do that, then we're not on the right path to solving them. So the way I see it is, get your own rational house in order, figure out what matters to you most, figure out how to achieve that regardless of the pandemic. And then when the pandemics or any kind of stressor like this hits, you're going to be way better off than anybody else in trying to deal with it. It's kind of like having intellectual, like food and provisions and water and power backup and stuff. When there's an earthquake or a hurricane or whatever, you have to have all that stuff in your mental and emotional arsenal. That's about all you can do, you know, and then you have to just kind of let the chips fall where they may, as it were.
Well, I think that that's a very poignant answer. And I knew you were the right person to ask that question for, because you gave a very full explanation. And so thank you very much for sharing that. Let's talk markets after the break. You are watching Way of the Renaissance Man and top market analyst Jim Woods on Unlock Your Wealth Today. Your life fully invested. Stay tuned for more right after this. No time to read the best-selling books for your business or industry? What if I told you could enjoy the best and most meaningful parts of a book in about 12 minutes? Believe me, I'm Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple by helping you learn on the go just like I do, with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes with Steve Cunningham, and read it for me. Join tens of thousands of leaders around the world, including yours truly, who use Read It For Me to learn the biggest ideas from the world's best leadership, sales, marketing, and personal development books in less than 12 minutes. All you have to do to begin reading best-selling books and enjoying your special rate for Unlock Your Wealth fans is visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme or click on the link somewhere in this post. Learn on the go with text, audio, and video summaries from your favorite best-selling books, and do it on the fly in less than 12 minutes. Visit unlockyourwealth.com/readitforme and start your 12-minute reading journey now. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals, and we, before the break, were chatting with freedom championing philosopher and top market analyst Jim Woods, and now we're going to talk about money. We talked about philosophy up front, now we're going to talk some cash.
My two favorite subjects, philosophy and cash.
mine as well. And so one of the things that's happened since the last time you were here is you've made quite a few appearances now on the TD Ameritrade Network. So they've been picking your brain a lot about computer stocks, software stocks, internet stocks. So just catch us up. What's happened since you were here last?
Well, to give you an idea of what the volatility and the kind of market turmoil we've had in 2020. So through the first quarter, markets just got crushed. I mean, we did see there was a little bit of a rise off the bottom, most of the lows were reached around March 23rd. So at the very end of the quarter, we had a good last week heading into the beginning of the second quarter. But just to give you an example, the S&P 500 was down about 20% in the first quarter. And that's through the end of March. Now, in the second quarter, the S&P completely reversed that direction. And it was up almost 20%, like 19.9%. So we saw a virtual reversal of fortune from the beginning of March through the end of June. So it was quite a big run back. A lot of that had to do with two very key things. First of all, the Fed. The Fed stepped in, basically said, money spigot, all wide open. We'll backstop you. We don't care what it costs. This is what we have to do to keep the economy going. And the Fed decided to actually buy bonds in the open market, but not just regular treasuries, but corporate bonds, municipal bonds, and they did that, and that gave the markets a really big boost psychologically. And then we also had the stimulus from the federal government, which is much not associated with the Fed's role. You had the Fed's role, then you had the federal government's role in trillions of dollars of stimulus, things like the increased paycheck, well, the increased unemployment payments, $600 extra dollars a month for people in addition to their regular state payments. And you had the Paycheck Protection Program loans that basically like gave a lifeline to a lot of these companies that, you know, businesses didn't know if they were going to survive through all these different COVID shutdowns. So the market basically, the government closed the market down. Then it decided to lend everybody a lot of money. Now, does that make sense intellectually? Well, not really, but from a market standpoint, the market was tumbling. The Fed and the federal government stepped in, and the markets liked that because they knew they had a backstop on equities. So we had the second quarter performance where the S&P was up another 20%, where the NASDAQ was up over 30% in the last 3 months. So all that's added up to a market that's basically where it was at the beginning of the year in terms of S&P 500. We're down like 3% through the close today on the S&P 500. Now, have we had more than 3% negatives in terms of society? I think so. But because of the stimulus, because of the hope for the future of getting through this, because of the hope of getting a containment on the number of COVID cases, and because of the hope for a possible pharmaceutical solution to it, either a vaccine or some kind of a rational treatment modality, the market is bullish on that. Now, we're pretty much priced to perfection here. So I'm cautioning people that want to just put money in the market pell mell, because right now is not a good time to just buy everything and without any kind of speculation or without any worry whatsoever, because the market is basically priced for everything to go right. And it's been my experience over the years that everything usually doesn't go right.
Right. Which is what you think. You're where you need to be. Woo!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, and a lot can go wrong with this, and it's a lot of it is not in the control. In the past, we say, okay, well, if earnings come in strong and economic data comes in strong, then the markets will continue to power higher. But earnings are basically non-factors right now. Not that individual company earnings don't still matter. They do, but everybody's expecting earnings to be suppressed because of the lockdowns and the pandemic shutdowns. So we all are of the mindset that, you know, yeah, everything's going to be objectively on an absolute basis going to be bad, but as long as it kind of does a little bit better than expectations, then money is going to come into the markets. And with the backstop of the Fed and the federal government, that is what's kept stocks from getting crushed like they did in the first part of March, of the first part of this quarter, from mid-February or so till the end of March. So I am cautiously optimistic on markets here. I think that they are priced pretty much for perfection. And like I said, perfection doesn't always happen. Usually doesn't. except in this show, of course.
Well,
that's different.
I appreciate your confidence you
know,
in this show.
Some things are immune to, you know, to issues, but the main thing is, I think people need to realize that the market is a forward-looking mechanism. And right now the market is saying to itself, we're going to get through this. The worst of the lockdowns are over. The worst of the damage is done. And we look forward to some kind of a medical pharmaceutical solution. Now, if none of those things happen, if the case counts get worse and worse and worse, which we have seen in the end of June here, and if there's no progress made on a pharmaceutical solution, or at least disappointing progress, then we could be in for a pretty difficult, you know, next few months. I don't think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't discount the possibility of it either. So there's a lot of turmoil out there still. And you know, if you really want to navigate this market, you need to be really picking the best companies at the best time with all the tools you have at your disposal to try to figure out if these indeed are the best. And even if you apply all those rules, you still will not be successful on some of your trades. So it's just something you have to, you know, you have to just know going forward. Now, if you wanted to be an investor that just wants to buy and hold for the long term, that's good too. I think that earlier this year, that pullback was a big opportunity to get long. And now, you know, we're still off of our highs for the year.
Well, doesn't one of your services actually like predict when those big ups and downs are going to happen and what people should do? I can't remember which one it is. Is that Successful Investing?
My service called Successful Investing is what's called a trend following service. Now, the key here is we do not predict what the market's going to do. What we do is we tell you when certain key technical levels have been either broken above or broken below. And that those levels tend to tell you when what the next leg of a market's going to be in the long term. So say when stocks fall below a certain key trend line, they tend to stay below that trend line for quite some time, several months, if not a year or more. And when stocks break back above that trend line, they tend to continue going above that trend line for anywhere from 9 months to several years. Now, earlier this year, we broke below those trend lines. That service got investors mainly out of the market through that whole February through March downtrend. And even a little bit toward the April area when stocks were trending back up. But once they trended back up high enough so that we knew that this trend was for real, then we got back into the market. So we were able to sidestep almost all of that big downside that we saw earlier in the first quarter. And then we missed some of the upside in the early part of the second quarter. We really didn't miss it. We just didn't buy at the lows because we wanted to make sure that those lows were actually lows, and they're only lows in retrospect.
Right.
So no one knows that they're lows at the time. It'd be nice if we did know that.
Right.
But then again, wishing doesn't make it so. Remember, primacy of existence. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we all wish we had a crystal ball.
Right.
But nobody's ever had one.
Well, I'm going to ask you to use one right now. And I have two more questions. And I'm going to ask the negative Nancy question first so we can end on a high note.
That's good show. That's good show hosting.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I want to focus on this three-letter word that hasn't been spoken, or it's been spoken in a different translation called stimulus, but it's really the word tax. So we're dumping a ton of cash, right, into the system.
Right.
Like you said, Fed spigots open. So both you and I, with our commitment to being objective as possible and using our powers of reason and critical thinking, hope is not a strategy. So at what point are these facilities that are temporarily propping up the market going to stop working, and where business has to pick up? And if it doesn't, then what?
Well, that's a great question, and it's very hard to know exactly like where the kind of tipping point will be. You could kind of look at it in a like percentage of like debt to GDP. That's usually how the best way to like to kind of assess these kind of things are. Like if government spending / government like taxation is a certain level versus GDP, then it's too much of a debt to service. It's too much of a burden on the economy, and it's going to slow the economy down quite a bit. Now, that may be our future. And I think anyone who stepped back from and looked at it from an Austrian economic perspective would see that it's not sustainable. So I would never argue that this is a sustainable kind of circumstance, because somebody has to pay the piper. Everyone has, right. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, as Milton Friedman once said. And it's true. So all of this borrowing, all this Fed action, all this balance sheet configurations, things like that, it's going to lead to negative consequences. However, when the negative consequence happens is anybody's guess. And I know plenty of market people out there that share our freedom orientation have been calling for a meltdown of the markets for years and years and years, and it has not happened yet. And therefore, the people that follow them are not making money in the market because they're afraid. They're hiding out in different asset classes, cash, gold. Now, gold has been a good asset class the last year or so. But before that, before years, years and years, it was dead money. And stocks were way more lucrative to own. And they still are more lucrative to own, even after this big meltdown of this beginning of the year. So the point here is that we may be in for reckoning down the road. We probably are. But what are you going to do about it right now, other than invest in the markets and build up that war chest as much as you can? So that if there is a problem, or if there is some kind of a real big global market meltdown, that because we have too much debt, because our tax base is too high, because the dollar is no longer the kind of global currency that it used to be, the kind of default currency, the go-to currency, as it were. If that ever does happen, then yeah, we could see the markets plummet. But until someone can give a definitive kind of answer to when that might happen, or until we see all the components in place for that happening, it does not make sense to hold off on investing in the markets now. So that's my take on it. And I'm very sympathetic and very I'm anti-stimulus actually. And maybe that didn't sound like that from earlier, but I also, you have to look at things from a market perspective, because the market perspective is different from the overall economic philosophic perspective.
Right.
Philosophically, there would be no intervention and there should be no intervention between the, or no, there should be a big dividing line between government and between the markets.
Right.
But that's not the case right now and never has been in America. But until that kind of utopia, or if you will, happens, what the government does is going to affect markets, and what markets do affects your money, and what your money is what is at stake here. It's not like, because your money is not a philosophical entity. Your money is a tool of exchange you use to live your life. So you want to make sure you take care of that as well. And not that there's anything negative about knowing about all of the different proper and rational economic paradigms. That's something you do need to know about. But I would encourage people not to be frightened by the possibility of a kind of American diffusion of value, because it's not happened yet. And the fact is, we are the best house in a bad neighborhood, which is the rest of the global economic world.
So love that. What a great
until idea. until that circumstance no longer exists, which at some point it could no longer exist. There's no reason why American markets are, and the American economy has to be necessarily the biggest and the kind of the default winner in this. There's no reason why it has to be, and if we keep on going down the path we're going down, it probably won't be. But Europe and China and Russia, they're all in the worst circumstance than we are.
Right.
So make a long story short, don't be afraid to get in the markets, even though there's potential headwinds down the road or a possible meltdown in the system because we can't sustain it.
Well, that's really sage advice. So my next question, my happy question, is for those that want to learn more, that want to be guided by your expert tutelage in investing or, say, in savoring life with your Renaissance Man project, where can folks find you?
Okay, well, for the investment newsletter end of things, including my free weekly e-letter, which I encourage you all to sign up for, it's called The Deep Woods, and you get my free take every month, every week on every Wednesday on the markets and social issues and whatnot. You can just simply go to jimwoodsinvesting.com. And then if you want to kind of get your feet wet in the realm of what it's like to think, act, and live like a Renaissance man, you go to wayoftherenaissanceman.com. And that's my podcast and lifestyle website. And if you like listening to podcasts, you like listening to interesting people talk about the things that motivate them and the things that the ways they look at the world and what drives them, then I encourage you all to check that out as well. We try to make it well worth the effort for people to go. We know people have many entertainment choices. So we hope to deliver a lot of value in both the Renaissance Man and JimWoodsInvesting.com.
Well, thank you again for kicking off another interesting season here with what's going on in the markets. And we will look forward to seeing you again soon. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthToday.com is here where you can visit Jim's show page, get the links to all of his amazing resources, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.